Let's turn together in the back of our Psalter hymnals now to Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50. We're dealing with the fourth petition. As you will remember, we are working our way through the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus Christ taught us as a teaching aid to teach us which things we should pray for and how we should pray. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that's why he gave them the Lord's Prayer. So we're going to be looking at Lord's Day 50. That's question and answer 125. That's on page 895 in the back of our Psalter hymnal. It's 895. So I'll read the question and let's read the answer together. Question and answer 125. What does the fourth petition mean? And the answer is, "Give us this day our daily bread" means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it in you alone. And that's as far as we're reading in the catechism. Then we're going to be looking for our text from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. There's only a few verses there. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. That's found on page 1171. Hebrews 13. These are the concluding exhortations. We're going to read particularly verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13 at verse 5. "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" And that's as far as we're reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we have all been taught, Jesus Christ instructs us to ask daily for our bread. And as we have followed the instruction of Jesus Christ, it has become almost routine. It's almost a standard act in many of our homes, that before we eat, we always pause, fold our hands, bow our head, and we pray, "Lord, send your blessing upon this food." But what tends to happen is that when we do something repetitively, we tend to forget or to minimize the importance of the act that we are doing. At least I know from my own personal experience, when you have the warm food on your plate and you're smelling the aroma of the roast and the potatoes and you have to pause and stop and fold your hands, your mouth is watering and you're praying, you're thinking, "Let's pray as fast as we can so that we can get on to the food that is here sitting before us." But today we are given a reason, an opportunity to pause and reconsider, to re-remember the importance of this petition, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," so that we can learn who provides for us and also to stir our hearts to gratitude because of the way that our God has so richly provided. And as we have been working our way through the Lord's Prayer, we have come to what is a very earthy, a very real, tangible things. We can't really see with our visible eyes, we can't always see, the establishment of Christ's kingdom. We cannot see the kingdom advancing, but we can see very clearly whether or not God has provided us each day with our daily bread. But even though we can see it, even though we can see if our plate is filled with food, we are still nonetheless exhorted by Jesus Christ to live by faith. Although we can see whether or not we have food, we are still called to be living by faith. Now, this fact that we need to live by faith was pressed upon us again this past year, wasn't it? This past year witnessed all sorts of natural disasters. We have witnessed the floods in the plain states with hurricanes on the coast, an extremely cold and wet start to the spring. In recent weeks, hailstorm, windstorms, droughts in other areas, disease and floods, all of these things remind us that we live by faith. If we didn't live by faith, how wretched, how we would be filled with worry and fear. But God calls us to live by faith, trusting that He will provide. And if we draw a connection between this week and the previous week, we're dealing with the will of the Lord. The reason we need food is so that we have the strength, the ability to go out and do the will of our God, to obey the commandments of our Heavenly Father. So today we look at this theme that Jesus Christ instructs His church to look to His Father for their daily needs. I'll say that one more time. Jesus Christ instructs His church to look to His Father for their daily needs. We start in our first point by looking at the expansive, extensive request, that this request is incredibly all-encompassing. When we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are, as the Catechism saying, "Dear Heavenly Father, provide us with everything that we need for our physical well-being." So in this petition, there is a huge expansive amount, an array of subjects and categories. Just ponder for a moment what we all need for our physical bodies. Not only does it include food and drink, which on the surface it obviously does, a healthy diet, but it includes everything we need for our physical well-being. So we could add not only food and drink, but shelter, clothing, work, medical care, and any other provision that we might need in order to live healthy and productive, God-glorifying lives. Just think for this last moment, think for a moment of this last day of all the things that you have and all the things that you need and all the things that you participated in. You probably ate 3 meals, or by the time you go to bed, you'll have eaten 3 meals, maybe even snacks in between, and how at every moment of this day, your life was held together by the hands of a loving Heavenly Father. And these things that we need is a continual, a constant occurrence. It's not that we can pray once and be given food once and then be set for the rest of the day or the week or the month or the year. We're constantly brought back before the throne of grace. And as parents can hear testify, with children that are growing up and developing and changing, it seems like they're always outgrowing their clothes or outgrowing their shoes. Your car needs gas and tires. Your home needs electric and gas. Your eyes need glasses. Your teeth need dentist. You can continue to add to this category of all the things that you need for your physical well-being. But the fact is, God knows everything that you need at every point, and God provides it graciously. So we say in this prayer, "Lord, give me this day what I need, because I have so many needs." We are so extremely dependent on our God for everything at every moment. But not only does this prayer cover all categories of everything that you need in the physical sense, it also covers the entire process of bringing to you that which you need. Take, for an example, your daily bread. Now, I'm sure most of you have heard the story of the little child who was asked by their parents, "Little Johnny, where does bread come from?" And little Johnny said, "Well, from the grocery store." Well, that's not the whole story, is it? We know that in order for food to be delivered to the grocery store, there is this huge process that goes into it. It doesn't originate at Aldi. It originates as a seed placed in the ground. So this petition acknowledges that God not only has to give us the end result, but God has to bless the whole process of bringing this food to us. So it covers the seed that is planted in the ground. You're praying for the farmers and safety on their labor. And you're praying for your blessing upon that seed, that sunshine and rain would cause that seed to grow, to develop, and produce a harvest. And then we are praying that upon that ready harvest, that mature harvest, safety again upon the farmers, that it would be gathered and brought into the bins. And after the bins, delivered to the mill, where it will be milled and bleached and baked and cooked onto to the packaging plants where it's sliced and packaged. And from the bakery to the trailer to the market, from the market to the cart, to the carcass, cart to the car, to the pantry, to the plate. As you can see, there is a huge, expansive category, expansive process that goes in just bringing one loaf of bread from the field all the way to your plate by which you can eat. But that's not even the end of the process, is it? Because once you take that slice of bread and you put your butter on it with your honey or whatever, you have to have the strength to take that bread, to chew it, to swallow it, and then you're asking God to bless the bread that you are eating so that your stomach can digest it, that you can draw nourishment from it, that your eyes might be brightened, that you might be given the strength to do the work God calls you to perform. So from beginning to end, we in this petition are saying, Lord, we are so dependent upon you for absolutely everything that we need. We are praying for a blessing upon us as we partake, but also a blessing upon those whose labor goes into the work so that we might partake. So in praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for God's blessing upon the farmer and the baker and the banker and the trucker and the clerk and the grocery store attendants and the people who provide gas for our cars and every category that is included in that. And that's just the process of bringing one loaf of bread to your table. Add to that the process that goes into providing clothing. Shoes do not just pop up out of the ground. Think also when it comes to your shelter. Where did your house come from? How does your house have heat and electricity? In all of these things, we are praying for God to, in His good providence, work in and through them so that my physical needs, that our physical needs, would be provided for. But in praying this prayer, we are not only praying for the expansive categories of bringing all things to us for our good, we are also acknowledging that this is a communal request. Give us this day our daily bread. God provides not only for us individually, but He provides for us corporately. And added to that, He provides for all flesh. If you still have your Bibles open, I'm going to be looking at a few of these verses here from Psalm 104 that highlights the expansive category of God's provision. Who does God provide for? Well, God provides for, if you're looking at Psalm 104, you will read about lions and different livestock, birds and goats, badgers, creeping things, and the crown of creation. In all of these, God provides for all of these creatures that He has made. Even the plants are brought forth. This is in verse 14. Let's read that verse 14 together. That He makes grass to grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, and oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains the heart. So in all these things, we find that God is providing not only the end result, but He's providing the beginning and secondary means so that bread can be produced, so that meat can be produced, so that milk can be produced. In all of these things, God is providing for us and all His creatures. And if the Lord would, as verse 28 says, if He would close His hand even for a moment, they would waste away. But He opens His hand graciously in verse 28, and He provides them and He satisfies them with all good things that they need. So as our loving Father, we in this petition are acknowledging it's a much, much bigger category than we tend to think. We tend to think about what's right in front of us. We tend to see what's on our plate and ask God for a blessing upon it, which we should do. But it also can and rightly should be extended to all these other categories as well. At the end of the day, when we are praying, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we are acknowledging how dependent we are. how absolutely we are dependent upon God's hand, that he must work in his good providence through all of these processes in order to provide for us. If he would close his hand, if he would withhold his spirit, his blessing, and his grace, we would be terrified and we would waste away. So we acknowledge that in praying this petition, that we need God to give us whatever we need for our bodies. But this prayer is not only a prayer that acknowledges the expansive, far-reaching categories and application of daily bread. It is also a prayer that we make with a heart of faith. Jesus not only taught us to pray this petition, to pray this prayer, he also lived this prayer. Because Jesus Christ himself, throughout his earthly ministry, hungered and thirsted. He ate and drank. He depended on his heavenly Father for everything that he needed. And when Jesus was being tempted in Matthew chapter 4, one of the temptations of Satan was this: Jesus, you see these stones? Turn them into bread. Jesus had just fasted for 40 days and he was starving hungry. And Satan was tempting him to bypass the provision of his heavenly Father, to remove the dependence that he had upon his heavenly Father, take the shortcut, take the easy path, and turn bread into stone. But turn stones into bread. But Jesus chose to rather submit to his Father's plan and timing, even in the small things like providing daily bread. And in his rejection to Satan's request, Jesus reminds us, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word of the Lord is the source of true and lasting life. Jesus is here revealing that although we need daily physical bread, it does us no lasting good if you separate that bread from the living word of the Lord. To say this another way, if you can have your barns filled with bread, and if you don't have communion with God, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, if you don't have a relationship with the Heavenly Father, then all that bread does you no good. So then when we pray this prayer, we are not only making a petition asking God to provide for us what we need for our physical bodies, we are making a petition that is rooted firmly in childlike faith. Please, Father, we say, please grant to us what we need, not because I deserve it, but because I am united to Jesus Christ, because I am Christ's body, because I am Christ's bride. That is the foundation upon which we make this petition. It is rooted in a faith that trusts and depends and has a firm confidence. Now we're going to jump forward to Hebrews 13, and we're going to look at this verse in its depth. What is verse Hebrews 13 verse 6 saying to us? It says, this is Hebrews 13, verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Where does the Christian get this confidence? Where can the Christian pray this petition with the confidence of knowing God is there for us, God provides for us, that he is our helper, and we must not fear? It's the confidence of a child that is living in union and communion with their heavenly Father, a child that acknowledges they have been adopted by grace, that have been born again by the living word. It's in that vein that we can therefore pray with confidence, knowing that we will surely be heard, that our prayers will surely be heard and answered because we have been united to Christ. It's this confidence that roots us in trust. A heart of faith. Stated negatively, confidence is the opposite of worry. That's what Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, isn't it? Jesus said in Matthew 6, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't be anxious about these things. Consider the lilies of the field. Consider the grass that is here. It grows up for a day and The sun shines upon it and it withers away. Are you not of much more worth and value than the flowers of the field? Why do you fill your heart and your life with such worry and anxiety and fear and fretting when you know that you belong to God? When you know that you are His child? It's this confident faith that is the antidote to anxiety and fear. It's the opposite of fret. Because fear is paralyzing. Fear says, what if? While faith says, God will. Because God has already given us the greatest gift, hasn't He? Hasn't He already given us Jesus Christ, the most precious possession that someone could give, His own Son? If He has already given us Jesus Christ, will He not also give us these simple, easy things? I mean, He can open His hand. He can open the floodgates of heaven. He can restore whatever has been taken away. It's so comforting. Remember, the Catechism is a book of comfort. It's so comforting to remember as we look at Hebrews, the fact that God will never leave us, He will never forsake us, and we have the confidence of a child to know that God is our helper, that man can do nothing to me. When we look at the stock markets and they're jumping up and down, we look at our IRAs and retirement accounts, we look at the impending retirement on the horizon, we look at our future needs, our medical bills, we look at paying the Christian education every month, even worrying about putting food on the table. Instead of fear, faith says, with confidence, God has and God will provide. Why worry about these things? Because I know my Heavenly Father will not forsake me. And if you think about it, worrying doesn't do anything for us, does it? Back in Matthew 6, Jesus said, by worrying, who can change the color of your hair? Who can change the amount of time you live on this earth? Who can add an inch to his stature? Who can add a dollar to his bank account by simply worrying about it? Fear is paralyzing, but faith is comforting. Trusting that God will provide us what is needed, what is necessary. In speaking about giving us daily bread, Jesus is pointing to the fact that we should come to expect God to provide what we need, what is necessary. Not extra, not extravagance. Give me neither poverty nor riches, as Solomon would say. Lord, give me food and shelter and clothing, because these things are necessary in order for me to live and to praise and to worship You. That brings you to a great place of confident comfort and rest. Now, rest does not mean laziness. Sometimes throughout the church history, you say, well, if you pray this petition, then you don't have to do anything. You're just going to sit back. You don't have to go to work. We're still called to work. Right? We're still called to go out and do your daily labor. Jesus said, if you don't work, you shouldn't expect to eat. But comfort knows that when you do your job, when you're faithful with the strength and means and talents God has given to you, you can trust God to provide. And that trusting confidence leads to contentment. Here again to our passage in Hebrews 13, verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. So confidence leads to contentment. Confident that God will provide, and contentment when He does provide, saying it is sufficient, it is enough. And finally, it leads to gratitude. The Catechism says, it puts it this way, help me to recognize that You are the fountain source of every good and perfect gift. That's quoting from James 1, verse 17. Confidence leads to contentment and leads to gratitude. Thanksgiving. Remember that prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires from us. So when we begin our meals with, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, we necessarily end our meals with, Lord, thank you for this daily bread. We acknowledge God and His provision in graciously providing for us. But before we conclude, I just simply must acknowledge one danger, the danger of having tempts man to trust in himself. When we have plenty, we boast in our own wisdom and our own power. That's why this petition is a continual and a communal request. Each day, we are reminded, each day, give us this day our daily bread. It reminds us every single day, today is another day. I have to rely on God. I have to depend on God. I have to look to His hand. So that's that continual aspect, but it's also a communal aspect. Remember I said earlier that it's give us this day our daily bread? It's not give me my daily bread, but give us. It's a communal request. The communal request means that we acknowledge our position, our place within the household of faith. That was one of the things that the Corinthian church had to learn. The Corinthian church had people who were exceedingly wealthy and people who were dirt poor. And Paul wrote to them, he said, one man's increase, the blessing, the fact that he has so much is supposed to meet the need of the guy who doesn't have any. God gives daily bread to a communal church. That means that if there are people in our church that don't have enough provision for their daily bread, it is the responsibility of the other members of the church to make sure that that member is being provided for. It's being stewards of the blessings God has given to us. They don't belong to me. They belong to God. And He calls us to be a blessing and to be generous to those whom God has placed around us. We call that the benevolence of the church, right? So if there is someone who doesn't have and is in a part of your community of faith, then those who have extra are to meet the needs so that there would be equality, Paul says, within the church, so that the whole body may be fed and nourished and clothed together. Remember, Jesus said, how futile it is if a brother comes to you naked and hungry, and you say to them, go, be well, be well fed, be well clothed, and you don't meet their need, right? When God gives you your daily bread, if He gives you extra, then you need to be looking out for others to meet their needs as well. To conclude, our request for daily bread is one that is made with a heart of competent faith. Jesus Christ instructs the church to look to their Heavenly Father for their daily needs. As Psalm 37 verse 25 puts it, I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. In times of plenty or in times of want, our God graciously promises to provide for the needs of His people. So we pray, dear Father, give us this day our daily bread. Do take care of my physical needs and the needs of those in my community of faith, so that we may all learn to give up our trust in creatures and to acknowledge you as the fountain source of every good and perfect gift. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, which reminds us of the need for contentment, but also the confidence of children. Help us to know, O Lord, that you will surely provide us with what we need each day. Help us to trust in you alone to sustain us. We do pray, O Lord, that you would meet our physical needs each day. And when those needs are met, help us to be thankful. Help us to be generous and to be good stewards of the provisions that you have placed in our hands. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.